Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome, y'all. Let's get Coach Julie promoted. She's going to be helping me out with Q&A, and she'll also be in your chat with you. Today is just open Q&A, which means you don't need to raise your hand. I won't be calling on anyone, but I will be taking all the questions that you have. So you can just post questions in the Q&A. We can get started there. And then I am going to go over a few exciting announcements for all of you while we wait on everyone to attend. And then I've got a couple of questions that we pulled actually from Facebook that we thought that y'all all would benefit from. Number one, tomorrow night, which will be December 2nd, I believe. Today's the first. Let me check my calendar. Yes, December 2nd, 5 p.m. Central Time on Thursday will be the final discussion of John Acuff's soundtracks with Coach Yesenia. So if you want to join her for the book study, the nice thing about our book studies, y'all, is that you don't have to have participated live in the book study. We give you a resource guide. All of the replays are on our book study pages. So at any time, if you find one of the books that we have read before and you want to read the book, do our guide, watch the calls and all the questions and stuff, you can always do that at any time. We keep them in our self-study resources so that they're there for you at any time. And like, even if you did read soundtracks, you could do it again and probably learn 1,000 times more things. So that is tomorrow night. And the book study page is under the self-study resources. So you can check out all the information there. Handling the holidays. It has been amazing to see all of you share your wins and successes with Hanukkah, with Thanksgiving, and all the things. We've been following hashtag holidays handled for you guys. We're rocking and rolling. But here's the deal. It is December. It is not time to take your foot off the gas. It's also not time to sit and think about all your mistakes, what went wrong. It's time to think about what do you want for this month? No matter what's happened in the last 2 months, if you've had successes, please take a moment to sit and think about where you are today and look at how far you've come over the last 2 months. All wins, any wins, big and small, all count. That is the best way to move forward in life, is to not poop all over your wins as if they're not good enough. I wasn't perfect. I was coaching someone yesterday. I coach in another group once a month. And this lady comes on and she leads off with, this is a business coaching call. And she was like, yeah, so I had the best Black Friday sale that I've ever had on record. But I just got to tell you know, the last few days, I spent time with my family and I didn't get on social media and answer questions and I didn't post a couple of extra posts. I just let everything that I pre-planned run. I was like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, I just dead stopped her and I said, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to tell me the story as if it was amazing instead of sitting there and shitting all over yourself. I was like, how do you expect to move forward in life if all you do is you take your wins, your successes, and the thing, like, all of you think about this. At some point, there was a version of you who probably wished she was you today. Almost every one of us. And I don't care if you ain't lost a damn pound since you joined No BS. There was a version of you at one point that wishes you had found a program like this, that wishes there was something. We are always sitting back and we're thinking about like how we lack now. You have, in order to lose weight, you have got to sit and you have to think about how far you've come. You have to start noticing the things that your brain and wants to say is not good enough. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, your brain will want to argue how something's not good enough. We're not there yet. I could have done better here. Wah, wah, wah. That's fine that it wants to do that. But what you can't do is only let it do that. You have to be like, I get that my brain's whining. I get that my brain is scared. I might not be able to lose weight. I get that it wants to go negative because that's all I've ever allowed it to do. But now that I hear it, now I take responsibility for thinking about something else too. There is nothing wrong with thinking you're not good enough, thinking about your failures, thinking about like who, like whatever you want to do.
you're comparing stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. That is just what's called a normal brain that needs to be retrained, that may never stop doing that because just how society runs, just how brains work. The problem comes when you start whining that that's how your brain is working. It's like, well, I just keep thinking these bad things. It's like, okay, who gives a fuck? I don't. How about you not give a fuck either? Because if you stop giving a fuck about it, guess what you do? You open your head up to thinking like, all right, I get that I think that because over Thanksgiving, I didn't follow my plan 100%. But here is what I did do. And this is different than last year. And this is different than 3 months ago. And I did make these changes. That's always going to feel better. And that's called taking charge of your life and your brain. But sitting back and like saying like, Kriyan, I didn't do well over Thanksgiving. Like my brain just keeps focusing on what went wrong. That's called not taking responsibility for your brain. That's called just sitting back with popcorn in the cheap seats, watching your brain operate and whine and moan and cry and gnash your teeth that you don't just automatically think better. Nobody automatically thinks better. You have a habit brain that runs 95% of your mind. 95% of it. You ain't going to just automatically think better unless you spend 5%. All I'm asking is 5% of your time redirecting your brain, deciding on purpose to think something new. And I don't want to hear no bullshit that, man, I don't believe it, or like, it doesn't feel true. Well, no shit, Sherlock. You ain't telling yourself that shit enough. It ain't gonna feel true at first. But what do you want? You want the pain of all of your frustration and your disappointment and your sadness about who you are by thinking about what you don't do good enough? Or do you want the pain of trying to believe something new? Do you want the pain of doubt? Do you want the pain of like it feeling like a rub? If it's going to be painful, at least fucking pick pain that will take you someplace. So it is up to you to figure out how to find your successes, because we're going into December and ain't none of you bitches taking your foot off the gas. And ain't none of you going to sit around and think that because you jacked up Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Hanukkah that you can't do in December. That has anything to do with how you're going to show up this week at a party, next week at your mama's, on Christmas morning, New Year's, any fucking holiday you celebrate. Does not matter. It doesn't matter until you start thinking it does. And you get to have a choice. You get to decide to bring your bullshit thinking and try to like look at what's ahead of you and think, okay, I suck. Now here comes all that stuff. Or you get to decide, here comes all that stuff. I'm willing to keep going. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to redirect my brain as many times as it takes. I'm going to push play even when I think that Corinne's going to yell at me. I'll still listen to her calls. I'm going to push play on no BS, even though I've listened to it 10 times and I keep telling myself it won't stick. I'm going to tell myself that's bullshit. I'll just keep pushing play until it does, because it's just as easy to think that as it is to think you're a failure. And we all have got to decide, are we going to stay in the pain of our current thinking, or are we going to embrace the pain of new thinking? I am just a believer, a total believer, that if something's going to feel uneasy, if it's going to feel hard, if it's going to feel unbelievable and things like that, I would much rather be doing doubts. I'd much rather be doing all of that than sitting around feeling stuck, stagnant, unmotivated, not enough, overwhelmed, frustrated. Hell, if you're going to feel overwhelmed, at least be overwhelmed because you're trying to do a lot. Don't be overwhelmed because you're sitting back looking at things and calling it a lot and doing nothing. At least be overwhelmed and do some shit. All right. So this month in December, here's what's coming up for everybody. Just so you know what we got going on. Somebody said, okay, new thinking brainstorm. Yeah. Y'all should be new thinking brainstorming every fucking day. Every day. I do it every day. I start every morning with like telling myself, here's what we're going to think today. Here's how I want to think and feel about my day. Here's the things I want to tell myself. Here's the things I want to believe. That's just how I start the day. I figure if I can plan my food and my business, I also can plan my thinking. And it works. That's why I give you that damn 60-day planner. It helps you. It's not just about planning your food. It helps you plan your thinking about, like, what's going to come up for me today? Why is this shit important? What's going to be my goals for the day? Why am I worth this work? What am I grateful for? What do I like about me? That's called planned thinking, so that you are not just left with your default thinking. You're going to have plenty of default thinking. Give me 5 minutes every single morning of planned thinking. Then you can spend the rest of your minutes and day with your unplanned thinking if you'd like. We just released a bingo board also in No BS. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go to the self-study resources and go to the self-paced workshops and go to the handling the holidays page. You're going to find December bingo. You do not have to register. You're not going to have to fill out a form. Everybody going to win a prize at the end of December. It's just for fun. And if you don't know it or hadn't seen it, my team has created a Corinne elf on the shelf. So we want to see, y'all, this thing is ridiculous. My team has already been having a good time with it, but there's a little Corinne. She's got her little green Christmas on and she's got a thought bubble. You get to write anything you want in your little thought bubble. It's a little cutout that you can place in places. And what we want to see, I cannot wait to see this, on your Facebook pages, we want to see where Corinne on the shelf is living. What is she doing? What sassy crap is she saying to you? All the things. So one of the team members, I can't even remember what it was. It's like, quit looking at it. This ice cream ain't a cow staring back at you or something like that. I'm not even sure. They're silly. But I think you guys will love it. It'll be just something fun. It's a nice way of having a reminder around to just don't eat your face off this holiday. Nobody needs to eat their face off. Enjoy your stuff, but in like really enjoy it. Like if I could give all of you one gift this holiday season, it wouldn't be weight loss. It wouldn't be anything other than when you eat, I want you to really feel like it's special. It means something that you decided to do it. It truly is what you want. It's not just your in the moment, this is what I want because I had a bad day. It's, I really want this. It's special. It's my mama's recipe. I really do only get this once a year. I'm not just telling myself that the popcorn tin at the office I only get once a year. Like I would wish for that because the moment y'all get really intentional and you make your food truly special, your food life just changes. It blossoms. There's moments when you will not choose like cookies and stuff, and you'll choose to eat on plan because you'll realize they're not special. I just keep telling myself they are. But at the end of the day, if I got regrets and I'm only eating it because I'm stressed or I'm afraid to say no, I'm learning that those are the decisions that aren't special to me anymore. Those are the decisions that I want to learn how to break that habit. It's not the habit of eating the cookie. It's the habit of the enormous pressure I put on a cookie. And I want to break those habits. That is what I would gift to all of you. So this year, use little Corinne, elf on the shelf, If you've never had an Elf on the Shelf, here's how it works. Parents, they buy this little elf guy. And during the holidays, this little, they usually have a name. Parents hide them every night. They move them around the house so that when the kids wake up, the elf is someplace and they've usually done mischief. They've they'll take marshmallows and they'll have them scattered all over like a table where it looks like the elf and a teddy bear had a marshmallow fight in the middle of the night. So there's all like sometimes people will like TP a room or something and to make it look like the elf did it. So do whatever you want with me. Just put me, I only ask that you put me in places that will make your holidays feel lighter and special and not make them so fucking serious when it comes to weight loss, but will be a good reminder of the lifestyle you're trying to create. An easier one with weight loss, a more fun, relaxed version of weight loss. All right. And don't forget, we in the Facebook group, we have a shop small business thread in Facebook. So that if you want to shop small businesses, you can support No BS Women. So people are putting their stuff there. For January 2022, if you go to the self-study resources page again, and you go to self-paced workshops, you'll be able to find the event page to print and download your 2021 year in review. It's also underneath the events tab, and it's in the banner on the website. So our big workshop is going to be huge on January 2nd. You're going to want to be there. So make sure that you've saved the date. If you go to our website, just go to the events tab and look for the 2022 workshop on January 2nd. Get it on your calendar. I believe it's from 10 to 5. I'm going to be teaching all day and getting you started. And then on that page, we'll tell you everything that we're going to be doing and what you need to know. But before that, I would love for you to do a little pre-work. There's like before we plan the next year, we're going to want to review the past year. And so when we review the past year, that sets you up to figure out what you're going to do this year, what you need to change, what you're going to build upon in success and all those things. So we'll be doing that. So you can find that in two different places. The calendar invite on there, you do not need to sign up for this workshop. It is included with your membership. So this is just, we've never done anything like this before, but we're doing it this year. So it's included in membership. All you need to do is show up and the event page will have all the information on it. So if at any time you're wondering about it, if you just go to the events tab on the website, look for the workshop for 2022, everything you need is right there. But the calendar button is not to register. It's just to make it easier if you have a Google calendar or an Apple calendar to mark the day. And we're also going to have a lot of prizes for those who attend live. So if you can attend live, make sure you do. We've never given prizes like this away. They're big. They're wonderful. You're going to want to be there. All right. And then this week we had 15 members join the Queen's Club. Lori Albert is one of them. And she said, I've learned so much about being an OBS woman. I've learned more than what to eat to lose weight. I've learned my thoughts, my feelings, and how to accept or change them. I've learned small changes really do add up. I'm also 5 months sober. Congratulations, Lori. And I could never have done it without the help and support of my coaches and my No BS community. So that reminds me, in December, we have some baller coaching opportunities for you. We have brought in some guest coaches to help you with specific things. So Judith Catan, who did a book study with us earlier this year, and she also did our like a program about styling your body and stuff. She's coming to talk about like styling your body for Christmas and all the different things that go on around the holidays and our body. Jennifer Levin is coming in. She is a traumatic grief coach. She is going to be doing sort of like a class and some coaching on grief. So we wanted to offer that to all of you because we know that this holiday season can be a little tough for a lot of you who have recently lost people, or maybe you lost people during the holidays. So we're bringing in a grief coach. We also have my best friend, Jane, will be doing a binge better call for all of you. You do not have to be a binger to take advantage of the binge better calls. They are for everyone. If you overeat, they will be helpful. She is going to be doing a class on urges, on what does it look like to actually have an urge allow it, not fight with it, don't argue with it, don't piss all over it, don't wish it wasn't there. Like, what is it like to go through an urge? So she's going to be doing a class on that. And then Coach MJ, we're adding a bonus drinking call. Did you know MJ is a great drinking coach? She's going to be doing a special call. So we've got grief, styling your body or body acceptance and body commentary. And then we've got urges and we got drinking. So we're hopeful that these cover some of the big issues for you in December as we wrap up 2021. All right. First question. I've lost 52 pounds effortlessly since joining in March. I've not changed the foods I eat at all. The last three times, which I hope all of you just hear, let me just read this one more time for that bitch who's sitting around multitasking and was like, what did she just say about effortless weight loss? I didn't quite hear it, Corinne. I have lost 52 pounds effortlessly. This was her words. Since joining in March, I have not changed the foods I eat at all. Hello. For all of you who keep sitting around thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to give up all my favorite foods. Like, oh my God, it's going to be so hard. Oh my God. No, she just proved you wrong. Seriously, if y'all will quit going to the Facebook group and looking for how hard it is, and you start looking at like, I wonder if it actually could be simpler than I'm making it. You will read post after post after post of people just saying, like, all I'm doing is this, still eating this, and it's working. And their overeats don't go away, but they drastically go down because they're not depriving themselves. And they're not thinking about that they've got to do something extra hard. And they're not sitting around thinking, well, this won't work for me because, or, but you don't know me, but like, but my ass. Here's the deal. If you want it to feel easier, stop with that talk when you hear it. That is how it will feel easier. To drop your excuses, your blame, your like wondering, your what if it don't work. That's the hardest part of weight loss. And guess what? You ain't doing shit when you're doing that. You're just experiencing hard before you actually experience doing shit for weight loss. I would much rather you feel doubt, but make a plan every day and see how many days it does or doesn't work this week. How about we just be afraid that like it won't work, but we do it to see if we're right or wrong? They're like, y'all have got to realize there's not a word I'm going to say to you that's going to make it all feel so easy. I can give you how to make things easier by like, watch out for this thought and do this thing. And yeah, like when you think it's not good enough, how about you just try it and see? Just like this person. So the last three times I've decided to add in more better and best foods, I've gone wildly off plan. I know I'm feeling some subconscious worry about deprivation and panic, about feeling like I'm on a diet. How do I overcome this? This is a great question. So it starts with understanding that the way to not feel panic and deprivation is that when you add those foods in, to not think panic and deprivation thoughts. It has nothing to do with the foods. Let me tell you how I know this, because that's exactly what I did. Back in the day when I was losing weight, I started off, as y'all know, with ice cream. Sorry, my eyes really itching. Ice cream and pizza and all those things. And then when I started adding in some vegetables, some fruit, going from like hamburger to a grilled chicken sandwich to eventually going to just a grilled chicken dinner. As I added in more better and best foods, I would tell myself things like, I bet I won't miss it. Doesn't matter if I was going to miss it. It mattered what I told myself going into it. I would tell myself things like, I'm just going to try this and see what happens, but I'm not going to think shit about it. I'm not going to sit around and think that like I can't do it. Like I just decided not to think those things. And then when I would try to think those things, I would tell myself, That's ridiculous. We're just trying. Somebody said, I'm having deja vu. This exact question must have been asked. Honey, Valerie, there's not a question that comes in these days that I probably haven't answered 400 times. And I'm okay with that. I'm only saying it because, yeah, y'all, it does become deja vu. I do answer the same questions all the time. And that's okay. I will say it 5,000 times over again, if that's what it's going to take to help you on the 5,000th time, be like, oh my God, what did you just say? Seriously. But everything that I teach is exactly the same thing. Quit thinking bullshit. Like when you think it, like don't just be like, I noticed bullshit. Now I'm broken. It's like, no, I noticed bullshit. But what's going to be my spin? And what else am I going to tell myself? What could I be thinking instead? Like, how can I approach this? And it feel a little better to do it. So in this question, that's the thing, is that adding more better and best foods aren't causing you to go wildly off plan. It's when you add those foods in, your thoughts change from this is effortless weight loss to like probably something along the lines of, see, this is getting harder. I never begrudged adding in better and best foods. I just chose not to. I never added better and best foods thinking that I was no longer going to be able to eat the old foods. Just because you start adding in better and best foods, guys, doesn't mean that your good foods have to go away forever. It just means you're not choosing them as often anymore. And it probably, if you think about it, when you start adding better and best foods in, it's because you're growing. You're getting more confident. You're ready to level up. You're taking on challenges. You're releasing like food being the end all be all to your emotional life. That's what I learned. I really learned that food was not my friend. It was just food. When I quit making food my friend, guess what I was able to do? Make some real ones. It freed me up to be like, well, if I'm not going to have food to be my friend, now I need to go out into the world and make some. And that involved risk. And that involved possibly getting rejected. But it also involved excitement. Had it not been for me giving food up as my friend and my comfort, one, I would never be as close as I am to my husband. Because now when I want comfort, I don't go to the pantry. I go to my loved one. I had to get over being ashamed of how I thought and be honest about things that were going on in my mind. But none of that magic can happen when you keep putting so much pressure on food to perform for you. It's really hard to change how you think about yourself, but how you think about your life, how you think about other people, when you hang on to the idea that food is the only thing that's solving it. When you release that need, when you release that thinking, it opens up like if food's not going to solve it, it means I'm going to solve it. It gives you the opportunity to figure that out for yourself, to ask the questions you need. Like, you know, if I wasn't making this a big deal, what would I be thinking? If I wasn't so afraid, what would I be doing? What's causing me to be afraid? What thoughts am I having? And what could I tell myself that's new, that's different, it's a little bit better? And I know I say it all the time, but guess where that has to happen? On paper. It cannot just be done in your head. When you do work on paper, it gives you the skill throughout the day to be able to do the work in your head. But you can't just be listening to what I say and never do your own thinking for yourself on paper. Even I don't care if you type it. I don't care if you write it. I like to write, but if you want to type it, it's fine. But if you don't do it like that, it makes it so much harder to hear the bullshit and to change the bullshit through the day. How do you do 24-hour plans for meals that you have no idea what the options will be? So for this, so many of you need to go back and listen. We have done calls in handling the holidays. There are calls in the basics. There's calls in lessons in no BS. So if anybody is wondering, like, what do you plan if you don't know what they're going to serve, or you don't know what your partner's going to cook at night, or like, I don't know where we're going out to eat, any flavor of I don't know about food, there are so many calls on this already. So many that will be helpful. I believe we even have cheat sheets inside of, it's probably in module 1 or 4 of No BS. I know we have like some kind of eating out cheat sheet that gives you tips on how to like plan for when you don't know what the food is. So make sure you review those. I asked Corinne about it on a coaching call a few months ago, and she suggested using level swaps. But I feel like putting stuff on my plan, knowing I'm going to eat something else, is against the purpose of showing myself that I can trust that I'll eat what I said I would. If you choose to see it that way, or what you can do is you can just take a wild guess as to what's going to be there. Go ahead and put it on there. And then if you're going to do a level swap, it's not like you can see that as I'm still doing what I said I would do. Especially if it's an equal swap. It wasn't exactly what you were going to eat, but the intention of what you were going to eat is sitting right there in front of your face. The other thing that I watch a lot of you do is like, well, if I don't know what I'm going to be eating, then you just give up on being intentional, period. It's like, well, then I don't make a plan. I don't even make a decision ahead of time. I don't even journal about how I want to think about it. I don't even want to calm myself down. What I want to do is just be like, well, fuck it. I don't know what we'll be eating. And so you either turn your brain completely off, or you worry all day long about, you know, like, well, I don't know. I hope I can stay on plan. And you do a lot of wasted energy all day long about it, all week about it. And it's like, skip that drama. Just write some shit on paper. The real thing I want all of you doing is I want you to learn how to be intentional, not only beforehand about food, so that you're planning food you really want. Sometimes I really want to eat all best foods. Not because I'm some kind of health nut. This is a good week. So this week, I am like all about best foods. If you go and you look at my fridge right now, it is jacked and loaded with best food options. Why? Because I spent last week eating out the entire time. You know what I want this week? My energy level back. I want to take a dump and it not feel like I'm trying to blow brick and mortar apart. I got good reasons. I want my workouts to feel a little better, not to feel like, I'm still trying. Like, I feel like I got like petroleum jelly running through my veins. You want to make sure that you understand, like, you can like best foods just as, like, broccoli is not bad, neither is a Big Mac. And ice cream is good, just like a piece of fucking chicken. Like, this is the thing that y'all have to remember. There's no morality on food. Food is not sitting around, like, with a soul trying to earn its way into heaven. But y'all treat it like it's like some kind of like moral statement. It's not. It's called choices. So if you're going to make a choice, then just be honest with yourself and like really listen to your thinking behind your choices. Like, why am I choosing this? Is it because I don't want to say no to someone? Is it because I'm afraid of what they'll think? Is it because I'm sitting around thinking like, if I don't eat this, I'll never get it again? Or, if I eat this, then I'm going to feel deprived. It's like, no. If you eat this, you can't feel deprived unless you are thinking about what you can't have. Rather than sitting there eating it, thinking, I chose this for really good reasons. And here they are. If you do that, you don't feel deprived. You feel smart, aware, in the moment. So do not forget. So many of you need to do this. You need to listen to module 2 of No BS about 10 times so that you understand that your thinking is causing your feelings. Food ain't doing it. What food you get to have, what food you don't have, what you put on your plan, what you don't put on your plan, does not cause your feelings. Your deprivation, your comfort, your joy, your sadness, whatever you feel, food's not doing it to you. The lack of or the abundance of it does not make you feel better or worse until you have a thought. And when you think about it, you have to pay attention to what you're thinking. Shops-A-Lot said something, a fridge full of best foods makes your meal choices easier. Shrimp stir fry on the menu tonight. That's another reason why I like to keep a lot of best foods in the house. I never want to go into my kitchen and negotiate. I just don't like to do it. That does not mean that the boys don't get to have the stuff that they want in there. But what I don't do is I just don't keep a lot of just in case foods or whatever. Here's the way I always think about like if I want some cake or if I want cookies or donuts or whatever it may be, right? If I want it, I will go to the store and I will buy it. And then I will come home and I will eat it. Or I will plan for it when I go out to eat. I always think I can always get it if I really want it. But what I don't want to do is keep all of it in my house. So on the days that I'm really tired and my bandwidth is low, that I'm not just staring at it and I've got to be like, all right, you know what I got to do? I got to follow my plan. Because when I'm tired and stuff, my defenses are low. My whys are not screaming loud anymore. None of y'all will. Your reasons, your whys, your dreams, your goals. When you're tired, that part of your brain, so dreams and goals and your whys and your purpose and all that stuff, that lives in the executive functioning part of your brain, the decision-making part of your brain. It is the first part of your brain also that your body turns off when it's tired. It's like, let's go to the automatic thinking now. She's tired. And whatever you just believe and you allow yourself to think all the time, guess what? That's the thinking that's going to come up. I just want to make it easy for myself that when that thinking wants to happen, that there's not a ton of stuff laying around that I can just be like, okay, I'm going to make the easy choice. That's called watching out for myself. To me, that is self-love and self-care at its height. It's not me depriving myself of cookies. If I want a fucking cookie, I know how to get in my car, drive it to the store, and buy it. There's no deprivation. It's not restricting. We gotta have a collective reset on deprivation and restriction. Most of you, if you really want something, at the end of the day, you could order a shipped. It is not like you can't have things. And y'all got to erase that from your minds. You can have whatever you want. Well, I just want to make sure that when I have things, I actually want them. That I'm not wanting them from tiredness, frustration, being worn out, feeling undeserving. That is not what I want for myself. And I do that work on paper. I tell myself all the time what I really want out of life. And it's real funny because on a Saturday morning, when I got my brain, my creative juices flowing, ain't one time have I ever wrote in my journal, here's what I really want in my life. Cookies on the bad day. I really want to sabotage myself. Here's what I really want. I want to turn to food instead of myself and my loved ones. I don't write that stuff down, but in the moment, it's easy to tell yourself what you really want is that cookie.
So it's just a matter of like really, really, really thinking about what it's you truly want in your life. And you write about it all the time. You write about the person that you want to be. You write about the relationship you want with food. You write about things that like that you're willing to do for yourself to make things easier, to navigate things a little better, to make choices easier to implement, to let yourself off the hook of having to beat yourself up or having to demotivate yourself into action. None of that shit works. If beat downs worked in weight loss, we'd all be having a kumbaya right now about bullshit we say to ourselves, and we'd all be thin, naked, bronzed, and in love. But all of us here, all 500 and something of us sitting here right now, you know what I know? We've spent a lifetime trying to beat ourselves thin, and it ain't worked. Never has, or you wouldn't be here. All right. I listened to some older calls and you mentioned giving time to the problem is not the same as working on a solution. Can you give some examples of the difference? Ooh, I don't even know what I was talking about in that one. I wish I had some context. Let's see. Listen, I mentioned giving time to the problem. So is not the same as working on a solution. Probably what I was talking about, Tabitha, if I had to guess, is a lot of times that we do when we enough is a problem. It's probably where like a lot of us will write on and on and on about like how we don't like stopping it enough, how this all started, blah, 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 blah. Like we just keep digging into the why behind the problem and we don't sit around and make up like writing about how we're going to solve it. Like, what could I be doing? What is it that I'm not going to think anymore? Who could I reach out to? What kind of accountability can I set up for myself? How many discovery worksheets is my goal to do this month? Like if you know stopping at enough is one of your issues, you should probably set a discovery worksheet goal. Because what I notice is a lot of you won't do that. You think that you should like learn how to stop at enough. And then suddenly you should just be I don't understand why I didn't do it perfectly this month. You explain the concept. It's like, well, you're not supposed to do it perfectly just because you understand the concept. You're supposed to know the concept, get in there and practice, figure out what you don't understand, ask more questions, try something different, get better at listening to yourself. Like it's an evolvement. So if I had to guess what I was talking about is, a lot of us fondle our problems, you know, like we just keep working on like, why am I so broken? Why can't I stop it enough? What's wrong with me? And then we write about that stuff. And then we wonder why we never feel better. And then we wonder why our journaling sucks some ass. Don't sit there and write about what's wrong with you, why things aren't working. You can do some writing on like, I wonder why I overate. What could have caused it? What thinking was I having? That's fine. But then you need to think about like the solutions. So what am I going to do about it? What's something I haven't tried yet? What is something my brain, here's a great question for all of you. What is something that my brain thinks is not enough that I'm willing to try this week? Every one of you should be asking that question. All of us at some point probably have the thought, I'm not good enough. This isn't good enough. And it's like, that to me is one of the biggest lies that our brain says. What makes something good enough? Most of us, if we ever had to say like, this is what's good enough, we wouldn't even be giving a good definition. We would be giving a perfect, idealized version. And it's fine to have our ideal versions. And it's fine to have like, if everything was right, blah, 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 this is what it would look like. But we use that idealized version against ourselves. And we're constantly trying to measure up to it. And then the problem with most of us is that once we get close to the idealized version, we move the goalpost. Now there's this other idealized version that's even better. There's a book that I've been reading called The Gap and the Gain. Somebody on my team, please tell whoever needs to know that we need to get it inside my shop, because I'm now handing it out so much. And I would like to have Benjamin Hardy probably on the podcast next year. And we're going to have a lot of people ordering this book, and we're going to have no record of it. So we need to have a record so that I can get him on the podcast. But the book is great, The Gap and the Gain. And I'm going to show you this janky little picture that we're going to be talking about at the January 2nd workshop. So let me make sure that y'all can see it. Okay. So for most of us, what happens is this is our present or goal self. So like your present self is like who you are today, correct? And for a lot of us, when we hit a goal, here's where we're at. We're at smack dab in the middle. And then we all have what we call the ideal version of us. The ideal version of us is something that is like if everything was right, the perfect version, who I hope to be one day. All of us sit around, like an ideal version for me back when I weighed 250 was the 150-pound version of me. The ideal version of me was who I am today, weighing somewhere between 150 and 160 all the time. All right. So we have this ideal version, and the ideal version of me was, you know, exercising and working out and, you know, just basically who I am today. That's who it was. Right. So when I was losing weight, I would hit these goals and I would get caught in thinking, but I'm not there yet. I would get caught in thinking, like, it'll be so much better when I get here. Or I'd get caught thinking, but I'm still not doing this. This isn't good enough. And what I noticed is that when I thought like that, I felt like shit, complete shit. It made things harder. It made it feel like I was moving through a swamp. And so when I was losing weight, and this was before I read this book, but they explain it beautifully. I've told y'all 1,000 times, I would get so aware of like when I was thinking something, it just felt hard and gross. And I knew in my mind that the reason why I'd failed so many diets before is because the moment it felt really hard or it felt really gross, I was like increasing the odds of me quitting. So I would immediately try to figure out, how am I going to think different? What am I going to be doing today that's a little bit different so it can feel easier? And so what they explain in the book is that your goal self and your present day self, we stay in the shitter when we're always comparing everything to the ideal version. If you're always comparing to the ideal version, you'll always feel bad about yourself, even in the face of improvement, success, and wins. So one of the things that they talk about in the book is when you hit a goal or when you're looking at your present day, go to your past and think about what's different about me now. What have I learned? What makes now a little bit better than it was? Or what is drastically better? Like when you hit a goal, you are so, like most of us, we hit a goal, like we'll hit, you know, we'll hit 199. And the first thing that we'll be like, yay. And then we'll go to, but we're not there yet. I mean, you might as well just let the air out of the balloon rather than just being like, yay. Here's everything that's different about me now. Look how much I've changed. Look how much my life has leveled up. Look how, like, how much thinking has changed. How am I showing up in a new way? And so when you compare yourself to that past version of you, and that past version could be 3 months, 3 years, 30 seconds ago, whatever you want. Some of you are different than who the hell you were when you first started this call. Then you are thinking in the gain, is what they call it. I call it the shitter. They call it the gap. They call it the gain. It's basically you catch yourself thinking about things in a way that empowers you. It allows you to build upon yourself. You grow from that thinking. And that's what I want for y'all. And so it's real important to understand
that if you are one of these people who's always moving, I am a classic example of someone whose goalposts move. There was a time in my life, I thought about this morning, and I hope I don't cry. I was riding my Peloton. I was taking a class by Cody, who's hilarious as fuck. He also said, I know I've heard him say this before, and I was going to say it this morning as Cody say it, but y'all should use this on the little shelf elf. Get your tits, your weave, and your mind right. I was just like, oh my God, yeah, that's so me. So anyway, so I'm listening to Cody, and he's talking about, like, we were in the last minute and a half of this ride, and it was all hills. So, like, we did a lot of slower riding, but, like, grinding it out. And he said, this last 90 seconds, don't give up. Don't stop. Do it. Like, he said something about do it for the version of you that used to couldn't. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about... I literally thought about that, like, y'all are going to think I'm just goofy as shit, but the Backstreet Boys were on, New Kids on the Block were on, and at that time, New Kids on the Block was on, and when New Kids on the Block was huge, I was, like, 14, overweight as hell, hardly no friends. All I wanted at that time in my life was, like, the life I have now. I was broke, unloved, out of shape, could, like, always on the bench in PE because the people wouldn't even put me in. And I just thought about, like, in that moment, I'm doing this for that little girl. Rather than sitting and thinking, like, I don't even want to finish this ride or whatever, I just tapped in. And that is the thing. It's like, I have so much in my life right now, but I still want to go to the Gap. I still want to go to the shitter. I still, like, I take this body and then I think that there's a better one. But there's all this other stuff. I am as bad as y'all are moving my goalposts. And it's no way to live. And so for all of us, what we need to do is we have to be aware of when we're doing it. That is what I work on every day when I journal. I make myself find what's right. I listen for when I am unnecessarily putting expectations and bullshit on myself. I'm reminding myself all the time about, you know, the other day I was with Logan. And I'll be real honest, we went and got our manicures and pedicures. I was really tired, and he wanted to talk about the French Revolution. I had some physics talk he had, and I had worked all day, and my brain was so tired. And I didn't want to hear it. And twice, even when he was talking, I looked at him. I must have looked at him so exasperated and so just, I can't believe that you're still wanting to talk about this stuff, that it caught him off guard. And he was like, is something wrong? And I would just be like, no, baby, no, mama's just tired. But what did you want to say? And then when we split up for a few minutes, I just sat there and just told myself, this is mothering. It's not always supposed to feel amazing, but you're doing such a good job. It would have been easy for me to sit there and judge myself for not wanting to be there, you know, not being more interested. I've got an amazing kid. Why can't I just see what's all good? I could have as easily had that conversation, and that would have been shitter thinking. My present day self went back to, there used to be a time that all you did was beat yourself up. And you're not doing that right now. There used to be a time you would give anything that baby could talk to you. And that's not where we are right now. It didn't mean that I felt amazing, but I felt relief because I wasn't taking myself to some idealized version of what a mom paying attention should be like, what a manicure pedicure session should look like between me and him, what my body should be like at 47 years old. 100 pounds of weight loss,
surgeries and everything else. So if you're asking about the book, it's called The Gap and the Gain, G-A-I-N. It's by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. I think it's really, I'm already halfway through. I got Yasmin reading it. We think it's amazing. I highly recommend it for all of you. Coach Julie, let's make sure it gets in the store as soon as they can do it. All right, last question of the day. Thank y'all for letting me just sit here and... it's already on the website. So y'all can go to pnp411.com/faves and find it. You can go to the website. Will y'all tell me what it is on the website? I think it's in my extras. And then it's like Corinne's faves or something along those lines. That's where the shop is. Where the hell did we come up with comfort foods? What makes cookies a comfort food and not an orange? Comfort, it's probably just from way back in the day. Somebody at some point said comfort foods. It's just a way that we describe it. And probably what happened is that, like, if you think about as time has gone on, you know, like cookies and things like that have so much extra sugar and stuff in them that when we're feeling bad, if you eat a cookie, you get a big surge of dopamine in your brain and it distracts you from your negative thinking and it floods your body with a different chemical. That's probably how comfort foods kind of started. But what is, what's really, and this is the thing, I don't want you comforting with an orange or with a cookie. That's where the miscommunication is that we have learned year after year after year that, you know, it's not our thinking that causes our emotions. It's other people. You know, like food can fix it. If somebody would just say this, then I'd feel better. Like we miss the boat that our brain is the one controlling all of it. It's my perception, my story, the thoughts that I have around everything that creates my experience. Your feelings are the experience that you have of the world. And your thoughts are your interpretation that creates the experience. So, and like a good example of this is that if a cookie literally comforts you, so let's pretend that your boss says, "Hey, Corinne, you are, you're a bitch. Did you know no one on the team likes you? I kind of think your work sucks, blah, 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 blah." All right. I feel devastated, ashamed, mad, like all the things. I go eat a cookie. So for a minute, I feel better, right? Like, because I'm chewing the cookie, I'm getting my sugar, and I'm not thinking about the boss's words. I'm sitting here like, thank God I got this cookie. I just need a little comfort. So my brain has switched gears from what I'm thinking. But if it really comforted me, then I would end the cookie session with, okay, the boss's opinion just changed. Everybody loves me now. Like if it really helped, either all their opinions would change or I would be like, you know what? They're right. I'm going to work on myself. I'm so glad I got that feedback from my boss. I'm now ready to go. I'm all in. Like that never happens because we eat a cookie. So that is how we know. It never really comforts us. So a more accurate description of it, if you are a comfort eater, one thing you could start telling yourself is rather than saying like, these are my comfort foods, they make me feel better, whatever. It's just to say, when I eat these foods, I'm distracted from my problems, but my problems come back. Like that is what I would just call like a level up thought about it. It brings you into awareness, honesty, and truth. It may not keep you from eating at first, but at least you're not lying to yourself because it sounds kind of sexy to say like it's a comfort food or whatever. Just think about how easy it is to say yes to food when you describe it that way. But if you're describing it as this is the food I eat to distract myself from the problems that I have, and they will come rushing back the moment this food experience is over. That makes you, like you might still eat a few times, but at least you'd be planting the seed that nothing's going to change. And until your thinking changes, nothing will. So you may be more apt to start working on your thoughts while you're still eating at least, And then eventually, when you change all that, you stop, you take away a lot of the trigger to want to do the eating. Or you may have a combination of, not only am I taking away the triggers, but because I'm so truthful and so honest and so aware, I am also living in the land of like, God, is this what I really want for myself? What if I just don't eat the cookie this time and see what happens? Let's just see if I can just deal with my emotions. Can I just breathe through them? Can I do the now process in module 2, unit 8 of No BS? Can I just do that and see what happens? So I think that's where a lot of times it's a lot of like, this is what I try to tell y'all. Your overeating and stuff may not change just overnight, but it doesn't need to change overnight. It needs to change over time, which is very different. And if, as long as it changes over time, you're going to lose your weight and you're going to get there. And if it changes over time, it's probably because you actually learned the lessons you needed to. You unwound the things you don't want to be thinking or you don't want to be reacting to anymore. You actually, over time, change as a person. When you just change everything overnight, you're still the same version of you, not believing in yourself, not thinking new things, not repairing the relationship with food and stuff. You're just overnight eating different. Weight loss, I promise you, it's not going to change you as a person. The process you go through, the way we teach you, will change you as a person as your body changes along with you. All right, everybody. That's it for today. I hope y'all have a good one. I will see everybody on, I believe Sunday. I think that's the next time I see everyone. I have, 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Sunday, December 5th. Is the maintenance coaching call. So if you are in maintenance, this is your opportunity to get some coaching. You just have to raise your hand. And then at 1 p.m. will be the usual weight loss coaching call with me. And there'll be an email going out where you can sign up and get on the list. And if you're picked, we'll let you know. If you're not picked, we'll give you some resources to help you out. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.